Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am profoundly and deeply grateful that you chose to be with me on this beautiful Sunday, September 3rd, 2017. We're in the fall, and that means all sorts of things, beautiful things. I like the fall. I like the autumn leaves and the whole thing, and it's always a great mystery to me how such great beauty is proportioned out for us in this world, and it seems that very few really understand it or see it, and I hope you're one of the people that appreciates it. It's a very wonderful thing, as is Aspire. This radio program is supported solely and entirely upon your tax-deductible gifts. It is only through your contributions that I am able to be here on radio to serve humankind as I do. And I hope that if you are listening and you are enjoying these programs, as well as my TV broadcasts on the Aspire website at aspire.org, that you will help us sustain our efforts. We work very, very hard, at least I do, to make all of this possible. Your donations not only pay for airtime, but they allow me to go to hospice and work there and serve humankind in all sorts of different ways, hospital calls, the people that are generally forgotten that you know, nobody wants to think about, and they need help too. Everybody needs help. Everybody needs someone or something to serve them. So your donations pour out into the world in radio, TV, my ability to go and speak to people at hospice or be with them through their death. And there's so many things about all of this that are very, very important, and I hope you will help. If you're interested at all, go to the website, please, at aspire.org, and you will see in the middle of the page there at the top, support. If you click on that, a submenu will come down, and it will tell you why support Aspire. It'll tell you where your donations go, how important they are, and all the nitty-gritty that people need to know in this day and age. And I hope that it serves you well, and you can sign up right from there. For your donation, you will get a plethora of things. The message of the month, you will have access to all of the TV discourses I did over the last 30-some years. You will also get the podcast, video cast, and commentary twice a month. And a lot of that is just there to help you maybe serve that part of you that is very important to your life, your spiritual awakening, or not. The essential. What does that mean? There are certain things in life that are very essential that we don't really understand or come to understand. So I thought it would be interesting to come up with a few people who have written me in the last 6 weeks. So these are recents, and maybe help you understand a little bit more about where people's heads are at, where maybe your head's at, where I'm coming from. There's a lot of things going on here. So Livingston, he does not tell me where he lives. Livingston, I love that name, writes. He says, is your work really that essential or even relevant in this world? You promise nothing for the effort, the time, and the money. I don't get why people would follow you, Livingston. Well, Livingston, I don't think people follow me. I would hate to think for anything that they would follow me. I don't want you to follow me. In fact, you can't follow me at all. My life is my life and your life is your life. So I am not looking for followers. I want you to understand that right off the bat. I am not looking for followers. I am looking for those who are maybe similar to me. Those who have that itch inside, that thing inside, that pull. The pull to something greater than what we are experiencing through the pedestrian mentality that we all suffer from. That's what I'm looking for. And there are people out there who are questioning their entire life. They're questioning why they do the things they do, or where they live, why they live the way they do. There are some that even question their thinking, but very few. I want you to understand this. And I knew this years and years ago. I knew I wanted to do something forthright, something that would clarify and be succinct. You know, you can get up on a Sunday morning, Livingston, and you can talk and talk and talk and talk. Some people teach, some people preach, some people just talk. And nothing happens. People in that setting are susceptible to the emotionality of the collective that is in that room, that church. They're highly susceptible to it. So they're being taught, and they're being cajoled, and they're being manipulated through emotionality to follow, to go along with the program here and somehow get what they want or get something they think is important to their life. So my work is not about any of that. You ask me if my work, do I really think my work is essential or relevant? It is only relevant to the person who is seeking. A person who is not seeking, a person who is cavalier enough to think that I am there to coerce them and that they, I have to kowtow to maybe what they believe in or what they think or what they want or whatever. Those kinds of people would not be ones I would be appealing to. Let's say it that way. I would not be appealing to that. I would be appealing only to those who have a definite sense of sincerity in themselves, who recognize who and what they are and are seeking the way of their heart. They're seeking a clarity, a perspective, a point of view. I am not here to wrangle and dangle the masses. I'm just not into that. I've never been into that. And I've had the masses, and it's really confusing for people because you can't teach anything to the majority of people in this world. Now, you ask me, I don't have anything to give to you. I don't promise you anything. And is it worth the time, the money, the effort, all of that? That is a very good question. It is relative to the person. When you've had enough, Livingston, when you've really had enough of Livingston, when you're absolutely done with him and you truly realize he's a dead-end street and he will only live in accordance with the collective unconscious, his own thinking, his genetics, his DNA, you will start to realize there is something more, that there must be something more, that there is an intelligence in this universe, an intelligence in this earth, an intelligence in this life that is very, very important. And once you understand that aspect, then you will start to mature and grow. You will start to see things for the way they are, not the way maybe you want them to be. So you start seeing things in the light of the heart, not the fog bank of the brain. You will start to realize the meaning and the significance of your being upon this earth and how important you are. The time you put into it meditatively will be the effort you put into it. Living, how you live, and the money you give, you donate, will be a pleasure to you. One of the deepest pleasures you've ever had in your life, an honor. You will not regret it, and you will not hate it. You will not dislike it. You will be given the meaning of your life through it, that you will see very clearly the whole beauty of what it means to truly and authentically give. Give without the need for there to be regret or hate or fear. Livingston, how much do you give to this world of your own hate and fear. Your own suspicions of me reflect that in you, not in me, but in you. Until we change all of this, until this becomes something we can and are willing to change, we will not find the substance and the meaning of what it is to live our life in accordance with compassion and love, which is what this world needs so desperately. I don't promise you anything because how can I? I don't know how you're going to meditate. I don't know what your personal preferences are. I don't know what kind of intensity you have. I don't know if you have devotion or not. I can't promise you anything. I'm not a snake oil salesman. I'm a spiritual teacher. I am telling you, you put effort into it. You start changing your life by making lifestyle changes, making it form around forgiveness, compassion, love. You're going to have change in your life. You're going to have significant change. And it's going to help you in so many ways beyond money and objects and people and things. Forgiveness is the most essential aspect of it all. I'll tell you, Livingston, something probably few or anyone's ever told you. The only thing that matters in this life is the accomplishment of mercy. If you are merciful, if you can come to the place where you can live in the state of mercy, you have achieved a great deal in the course of your lifetime. And that's all I can tell you, really. That's all I can really tell you. I wish you well, Livingston, and I hope one day you find the way within yourself. Please forgive me. Namaste. Everybody wants some bang for their buck, and they think their time is precious as they sit there and play video games or talk to their friends or play with their technology. And they forget what the meaning of their life is, and it is substantial. The next question is from Linda in Garden Grove, California. It seems that I need to get some things in my life that I want. Can you help me get those things? Linda. Well, Linda, I'm not a broker for God, so understand that. Things you need? Really? The fields are already white to the harvest, as Jesus said. Your Father knows of your needs even before you ask, he said. I will tell you what I've learned in my many, many years of being a teacher, and I hope I don't sound like an old fogey here, because I am an old fogey. I hope I don't sound like it, though. I have learned diligently, Linda, that whatever is before me is what I need. Those are the elements of what I need in my life. So if I am having difficulty, I must need it in some way, and I must be very conscious of that need. And I must stay with it with all of my heart, my soul, and my strength. I must be grateful for it. If I don't have a lot, it means I don't need a lot. And if I have a lot, then it must mean that I'm being set up for a teaching. I've learned, I've watched people who have too much. And I watch how they use their too much. And it is devastating. You can't tell them, hey, you're gone too far. You're going too far. I have people in my mind, a slew of people in my mind that I think about all the time. People that taught me that too much is too much. These are people who have become very selfish and unkind. They don't know what they're doing with the course of their lifetime. They just go on and on and on living as they live. Wanting more, trying to get more, trying to talk themselves into having luscious things that they think will make them popular or play off their ego and give the whole idea of how important they are, how significant a person they are, yada, da, yada, da. This goes on and on and on with people. I've seen it all. And the more self-importance a person has because they have money or because they're popular usually and typically means that they have very little on the inside, very little self-worth. And it's always interesting to me to see people that I haven't seen in a long time and to talk to them and find out that they stopped maturing way back in their early 20s. They never got any further. They're saying the same thing over and over and over again. And while their bodies are caving in, their minds are going along with that cave, and they're not really realizing the bigger picture of their own life and how beautiful this whole thing is. There's no gratitude. There's no service to humankind. There's nothing but me, me, me. What can I get? How can I get better? How can I have people think that I'm better? And on this goes. So I don't know what it is, Linda, that you think you need to get. You say you need to get some things into your life that you want. You can pack a crowd. You can have hundreds and thousands of people listen to you. If you are telling them what they think they want to hear, which is, how do you get the stuff? How do you get the stuff? So there is no maturity in that. There's no personal growth in that. There's none of that. There's just, how do you get the stuff? How do you get the stuff? And the more stuff you get, the less awakening you will have in your life. And I know a lot of people would say, well, who needs awakening? It doesn't put food on your table, and it doesn't make you a better person, and blah, 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 blah. But it does do a lot of things, and it does put the food on the table, and it does so many other things you can't imagine. Linda, I would suggest, forgive me for saying this, that you get your head out of the stuff and you start being grateful for the stuff you have. Grateful for the world you live in, grateful in the life you live in. And if you need to make some changes, those changes will occur through compassion and love, understanding. If you need changes, then you can change through living your life through forgiveness, a fearlessness. If you really want to know what you need to work on, it's the sense of fearlessness where you don't need the stuff to make you happy. Now, that is quite an accomplishment in the course of a lifetime, where stuff isn't there to regulate how happy or how meaningful or how important you might want to be. When that occurs, and here is my experience, Linda, that's when many things come into your life and you are flooded with everything that is important to your life experience via your karma. You and I both have karma, and how we live in that karma, how we deal with it through daily living, the whole shamatha, it's all there. That is what's really essential. That's what's really important. That's the stuff you need to understand, is it doesn't matter how many objects you have in your worldly life. What matters is, do you have the heart of love? Do you have a heart of gold? Would you give it all away for the sake of love? Would you put other people first? Could you give unconscionably? Can you forgive unconscionably? Can you go back to those people who you've hurt? Those people who you think have despitefully used you, and forgive them? And forgive yourself for how you acted towards them? Not many people can do any of those things. And you can't do it in the confines of human thinking. The only way you can do it is through the heart of love within you. You have to have a sense of willingness to achieve consciousness, not to achieve more stuff. You'll never be at peace with your life with the stuff. And I have had many a student give up peace for stuff. And none of them are happy. No, not, I shouldn't say happy. None of them find joy in their life. They can only seek happiness through stuff. Please forgive me. Namaste. A lot of people are content with that these days. So, you know, it doesn't matter. Ooh, baby. Are we setting ourselves up? Last question comes from Tom in Colorado. Oh, boy. Can any of us really change much? I mean, really? I'm at midlife, and I'm telling you, it is very hard to change. Did you change at midlife, Tom? Midlife is a bitch, isn't it? Really is. It's a very interesting time in our life where we put aside the things that are really meaningful for the things that we think we deserve. And we deserve all these things that we think are very important, like, I don't know, objects, people, things, going places. It doesn't matter. Everybody's into something, and they want something for their life, and they want to travel here or eat this or drive that or live here. And it's a here or not kind of thing. And a lot of people really do take that seriously. What can I say to you, Tom? Midlife is a time of evaluation. What did you do with your living? How did you deal with your youth? What is your life all about? What is your living all about? You're going to have to decide these things. But I can tell you this. You don't want to pass midlife without changing. The word repent comes up. It is not a religious word, in my opinion. It is a word coming from the Greek, which means a change of mind, a change of attitude. You have to go from living in the pedestrian mentality, which is where my mind exists as a human being, being susceptible to genetics and DNA, to that of going to consciousness, where I am not hampered by my DNA and my genetics, and I start to live a life that is filled with the wonder of it all. In consciousness, I can see and recognize the wonder of it all, what it means, what is really important. I start to realize the nature of kindness and what authentic kindness really means. Do you realize at all, Tom, the power of compassion? It brings about the presence of a lifestyle that is called forgiveness, and we all need to be forgiven and forgiving. Forgiven by whom? Ourselves. By the whole effort of living in some kind of conflict against the world, conflict against love. People are really, really ready to hate at a moment's notice. It doesn't take anything to make a person hate. Oh, I hate them. I hate this. I hate that. But to make a person or to allow a person to feel love, authentic love, real love, not emotional love, but authentic love, that takes more. That takes a genuine effort, something beyond the ideas and ideals of what it is to have what we want, to have that mentality where I am always trying to get more with my life and have more in my living, that kind of thing. Everybody wants something, and everybody wants something from someone else. And maybe, Tom, you could take this attitude. When I no longer want anything from anyone, I can truly be the person that is everything, just unto myself. And I can serve humankind and help people and love them fully. Because the only thing that matters in this lifetime is the state of my love and how fully I love you. And I do. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. Thank you for listening. I'm out of here. I'll be back on the air next week. Have a wonderful weekend. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.